ChatGPT, Grammarly, Google Gemini, AI tools have changed student life in the space of just a couple of years. Cheating seems easier than ever before, but it's hard for schools and universities to know how widespread the use of AI is and how to deal with it. A recent report from the University of New South Wales found 172 cases of plagiarism and misconduct at UNSW College. It's about one in every 12 students. Many schools have AI guidelines in place. Some ask students not to use AI, some allow AI in specific assignments, and AI detection tools are imperfect. Meanwhile, students say that monitoring and accusations of AI use can create more stress. With me is nursing student Mark McLaughlin, who never expected to be accused of unlawfully using AI when he submitted an essay, and then to spend 5 months fighting the accusation. Mark, tell me your story.
Good morning. How are you going? So my experience started in first week of April, and we're now going on to, like you said, 5 months. And I guess there's the two factors to my case. One is that I was fighting to clear my name and have my academic misconduct record removed and receive the full marks that I was eligible for in my assignment. That part has been unsuccessful, and I have received an academic penalty on that assignment, but it still enabled me to pass the unit, so I've kind of moved on from that. I'm now, putting up a bigger battle for universities, education providers, to provide a more student-focused approach to the allegations when they're made. So not throwing an allegation at a student and then dumping them and leaving them to deal with the emotional and the stress that comes with that allegation. Mm. So as part of mine, I've had three appeals through the university, very little communication with them over it. It's now, I have lawyers involved, I have my union involved, and this currently is with the National Student Ombudsman, who have issued my institution a letter for them to respond to, which they have 2 weeks from last Friday to respond, and that will hopefully include a mediation session where we can have some meaningful discussions on how they can support students through the process.
This sounds like it's been, if nothing else, a huge time suck for you, as well as, like you're saying, really stressful. Can you tell me what actually the crux, like what was the assignment? What happened?
So the crux of the assignment was that I was given an assignment and you had to compare and contrast two types of interventions for a particular scenario. One was a fairly old intervention and one's a new intervention. So how do we used to do things and how do we do things now? That was the assignment. The assignment was, for me, compiled and researched in the same way that I had researched every other assignment for the last 3 years, and that is with the tools given to us by Murdoch University, a set of guidelines on how to use those tools by Murdoch University. And then once I had done that and submitted it, that was then a few days later that I received an email from the unit coordinator saying, look, you've been flagged for AI, please do not contact me in bold writing. And then it's off with student integrity services for them to do the investigation. That was when I then, a few days later, received an email saying that I've been alleged of using artificial intelligence model based on a few of what they believe to be fairly robust criteria, which is what we're obviously, I'm alleging is not robust. And then from then on, I've now gone through to the third appeal. So it's been very time consuming. I've had to put in exam deferrals. I wasn't able to sit my exams at the same time as the rest of my cohort, which automatically adds another level of stress to you. When you do a deferred exam is you only get one shot at the exam. Mm. If you fail the exam, then you fail the unit. Whereas if you sit at a normal time with the rest of the cohort, you get two attempts. So you kind of automatically add another level of stress straight away. So it's put kind of a few of those things on hold. Then, as you said, it's very, very time consuming. It's been going on for 5 months, and I've had, lots and lots of phone calls and discussions with external parties over how we can deal with this going forward and, what is the problem and how are things working.
Am I right in thinking the tool that they're using to detect AI is, in fact, an AI tool?
So, interestingly enough, it wasn't until the very last communication that I received from the university, which was their final decision on my case, that said that this is from Student Integrity Services, so this is the department within the university that make these decisions, have noted there is no correct way to detect AI, and Student Integrity Services discourages the unit coordinators from using AI detectors. Firstly, because it means they are feeding the AI with work of students. The second, because those provide lots of false positives. Then they've gone on to say further on how they've assessed mine. A reliance on metadata can be problematic. For example, Word documents metadata may be an unreliable indicator of editing behaviour. In this context, if metadata is used this way, students could be clearly advised to work within a single document throughout the drafting process, and to avoid renaming or moving the file, and the student could be at risk of being unfairly flagged and judged on the quality of their defence to allegations rather than the strength of the initial evidence. That's where I'm at the moment. So they're judging me on my defence, my legal defence, as opposed to their evidence of use of AI. So they don't have the tools to detect AI, and that's the issue.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Mark McLaughlin, who's a nursing student. An assignment that he submitted was flagged for AI use by his university. He says he didn't use it and he's been embroiled in the appeal process ever since. And it really kind of sheds a light on the fact that the tools that are being used by some students and not by others, the tools used to detect AI in student assignments are imperfect. I'm asking you as well what you think the line is in terms of cheating. Mark's story completely to one side. Given that so many people are using AI in their work, is it fair to say that students aren't allowed to use it? Has the horse kind of bolted here? Markul says AI is part of life. There's no going back. Finding a pragmatic solution is the only way out. A different person says, in my opinion, yes, using AI is cheating. If people don't have to write their assignments, then how are they to learn to write well? My kids can't even read cursive writing, let alone do it. We're losing language capabilities due to technology. It's concerning to me. Well, with me also is Dr. Jasmine Thomas, who's an Associate Director of ICT Governance and Partnerships at the University of Southern Queensland, and Dr. Cameron Edmund, who's a lecturer in game development at Macquarie University's School of Computing. Jasmine, listening to Mark's experience, and what's your sort of reaction to that with your work?
I think that it's important to acknowledge that universities have a responsibility to uphold integrity, first and foremost. And as part of that, they operate within policies and regulation that ensures that procedural fairness needs to be built into any investigation that occurs with students. And often these investigations are also opportunities for student intervention, because when suspected academic misconduct arises, it can be emblematic of other issues. So perhaps a student is struggling, perhaps they need more support. And throughout the whole process, there are a range of student supports built in, because student safety is also university's number one priorities. So procedural fairness and the ability to deal with these complaints is just as important as how we are actually dealing with AI as well.
So we heard Mark say emphatically that he didn't use AI, but you are seeing it being used by students in schools and unis.
Oh, absolutely. And the UNSW report that you referred to reflects that as well. So in my former role, I was investigating these cases, and there is a huge range of ways that students may cheat, or also in terms of how obvious it is to pick out. I mean, for example, I've had assignments in the past that have literally had regenerate response included down the bottom, or it has included the preamble from ChatGPT. Sure, I can help you with this. So those are exceptionally obvious cases. There's also sometimes there's odd language within assignments. So someone talking about the separation of powers in a constitutional law assignment would be talking about the division of energy instead. Or in science assignments, eye contact is visual gaze alignment. And those are really obvious indicators that a student perhaps has not proofread their work. So there's certainly evidence that students are using AI to cheat, but it's also so important that the process is sound and that students have a voice within this process so universities can better understand what has happened, because there is such an evolution going on in terms of assessments that are being offered, in terms of policies that are being written, and we've got to be clear with our students so everyone knows where the boundaries are.
So Mark, you're obviously still studying. What are the kind of attitudes among your fellow students about AI?
Yeah, look, I think at the moment, and firstly, I just recognise what Jasmine said. I think I agree with everything that she said wholeheartedly. Some of the comments that I've been receiving from, I guess, students that I still see in contact and even around the hospitals that I work in, is that everyone seems to be very much on edge when they submit an assessment, whether they have used AI or not. So when they hit that submit button and it goes through the Turnitin, which is a plagiarism detection software, not AI, that's the point when I think people's level of anxiety seems to become heightened. They're all very conscious of the fact that I haven't used AI, but I'm going to get flagged for it, or I have used AI and I'm going to get caught for it. The level of anxiety is huge out there at the moment. And I think that's one of the areas that, you know, possibly there's not going to be a solution to. I think that, you know, if you know you've done the wrong thing, you're going to get picked up. If you haven't done the wrong thing, then technically you should be okay. But I guess that's where I'm at the moment. So, yeah, I think there's definitely an elevated level of anxiety out there. I would like to quickly just touch on what Dr. Jasmine did say just with regards to the process. And I think that for me, one of the key things she said was to have that student voice and that student involvement in it. And that's where I'm disappointed that that hasn't occurred for me in what I think is an adequate way to really represent myself with somebody to sit down and to show them how I do my work. That kind of opportunity wasn't really given to me. It was all very much via email, no names on the bottom of the emails, no person to contact, no phone number. I had to go through freedom of information to get access to some of the policies and procedures, which I shouldn't have to have. You know, it was very much in cloud, and I think that's my disappointment, was that I think this could have been knocked on the head first appeal rather than being dragged out to where we are now. And I certainly do like the comment that she also made around student priority being number one, and unfortunately I don't think that is necessarily the case in all institutions. I think that's the area that we need to work on. There's certainly technical people out there, like, you know, you've got Jasmine and Cameron, who are both very technical people by the sounds of it. You know, that's, I think, an area that they can work on. How do we technically do this? But who's looking after the student welfare? It's like, who's the non-technical person that's looking after how this makes us feel and how you can get through this, whether you've done the right or the wrong? You know, if you've used AI and you get caught, you should get caught, but there should also still be supports for you. If you haven't done it and you've been pulled up, where's the support as well?
We did contact Murdoch University. They said they don't comment on individual student cases. That is the university where Mark is studying. But they said in part, where the use of generative AI in assessments is indicated, the university takes a considered and educative approach under established academic integrity processes. Our first priority, Murdoch University said, is to support students in understanding appropriate academic practices. Where concerns arise, our processes are designed to be fair, transparent and proportionate, with education and engagement prioritised before any punitive measures are considered. You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Mark McLaughlin, a nursing student who's been caught up in an accusation by his university of using AI in an assignment. He says he didn't. Dr. Jasmine Thomas from the University of Southern Queensland, and you're about to hear from Cameron Edmund from Macquarie University, but I've also been asking you about where you think the line is in terms of AI, whether we should consider it cheating or whether we should consider it just one of the tools that people are probably going to use in their professional life anyway. One says, students using AI is like going to the gym and having a robot lift the weights for you. Cameron, you have actually made the decision to let students use AI for their essays. Talk me through your reasoning.
Yeah, g'day. Thanks so much for having me. I made this decision a couple of years ago now. I think it was 2023 when I first did this. And at the time, there was a lot of different discussions going on about should students be allowed to use generative AI. Lots of people across multiple institutes doing really strange things, in my opinion, setting traps in their assignments for generative AI detection, or doing things like using tools online to detect if generative AI was used. I did hear of one person asking ChatGPT if a student's assignment was written by ChatGPT, things like that, which, you know, as a technologist and someone with a background in this area, I knew were kind of really fraught measures, right? And not very fair on the students either. So I decided to take a different approach, which looked at finding out a bit more about how students were using AI if they were. Because the way that I saw it is using generative AI is not a kind of ethical scenario or an apolitical scenario. It has a lot of ethical baggage to it that students should be aware of. And so as a technology educator working in game development, I have that responsibility to educate my students about, okay, if you're choosing to use these tools, how are you using them? Are you using them in a good way, using them in a bad way? What are the kind of ethical decisions about the way you're doing that? Sustainability, copyright, all sorts of problematic data sets, all sorts of things.
How did they react?
So it's been really interesting. So what I've generally said to students is just, you be honest with me and kind of, I'll be honest with you about this and give you some feedback. So tell me how you're using it. And because I teach in game development, we have very passionate students and students that are both technologically minded, really interested in new technologies, but also are very creative people a lot of the time. And so we have some very differing opinions. Some students are very adamant that they don't want to use generative AI for some of the reasons that, you know, some of your listeners mentioning stuff like going to the gym and having a robot do the weights for you. They're like, well, no, I want to learn how to code. I want to learn how to, you know, write my essay. I want to learn how to do whatever. Or they look at those kind of ethical problems or sustainability problems, and they decide that, you know, they want to be on the other side of that. And so they choose not to use it. But then other students are using it in ways that, and why I'm glad I kind of am able to catch it in this way, is they'll be using it for things like proofreading their work or finding sources. And then they report that to me, and I can look at how they're using it, and I can say, well, hey, you know, you're using this tool to find sources. These are kind of the problems with doing that. It's hallucinating, or you're using it to proofread your work, and it has, but it's added in these extra sentences or whatnot, you know. So, you know, maybe you want to avoid it or whatever. And I'm able to then have that honest conversation with them about it, which has been really good. So, yeah, I'm seeing some students are really for it. Some students are really against it. I factor in conversations about generative AI into our ethics class discussions and other discussions in class. And it's just good to see that, you know, students have different views on it and different opinions. And that's all I really want, is for them to be thinking about their use of it.
A couple of people on the text line, uni students, are saying that they use tools a bit like what you're saying there, Cameron. One says, I use AI at uni for research, which I then fact checked for authenticity through the university library. I use AI to proofread my assignments, check grammar and spelling, which is all approved by my uni, and I use AI to check plagiarism. I think AI becomes difficult when you write a whole assignment using it with no fact-checking and no use of your own words. Another student says, I think the guidelines are unclear. When I log into my uni, we all sign a declaration that we won't use it, but it's a broad church. I use a grammar-based AI to help me do my writing, i.e. make it active voice and tighten up readability, and for summarising my notes. This person says, I'm recently diagnosed neurodivergent and this tool supports me to do the work. If I had a person in real life to help, that would be great. Well, Mark, I think your story, you've told me your personal story, but it's also, you've kind of become a lightning rod for other students in similar situations. They've gotten in touch with you and told you their stories. What are they saying?
I think it's been positive, but it's also been quite a load as well. So I'm kind of at the point now where people in hospitals or places that I go to will actually recognise me by face, which isn't always a good thing. But I guess the positive side to it is that people are talking to me about how it's affecting them personally, and that's the bit that now concerns me. I'm not going to say I've moved on. I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that the technical issues I can't deal with, and this is not something that I can solve. This is beyond my scope. But I'm hearing students, one particular student last week is kind of sitting a bit close to home. He approached me very sheepishly and said, look, I've been following what's been happening with you, and I've seen you around a few places on shifts, but I've been a bit scared to talk to you. But today I want to tell you that I've tried to commit suicide twice over this allegation that I've had over my head. Luckily, they've both been unsuccessful, but he's tried to commit suicide twice because of the additional stress that this has put on him and his family. And I think those are the areas that we just, we're not on top of. Mm. We're really not dealing with that at all. Cameron's saying is he's allowing his students to come and talk to him freely. How are we using it? He's giving them feedback. It's there. Let's use it. But let's talk about it. Let's all be adults. That's the kind of conversation that we need to have. But on a technical level, yes, and also a mental health level. How is this hurting you? What can we do to support you better through this? And that's a big concern for me. I've had international students who have been threatened to be sent home. You know, we're going to catch you for AI and you will be sent home. I mean, how do you think those kind of comments would sit for anybody? It's just not nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And if this chat is raising issues for you, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Jasmine, I guess what I'm really hearing from Mark there is that the stakes are high for students, and the way that institutions set up their processes really has heavy implications. What do you think is the right way forward for institutions who are trying to get this right?
I think we need to engage with the complexity of AI and not just focus on that compliance mindset. So that means we need to facilitate dialogue on AI and assessment, and also our pedagogy, not just as a technical challenge, but also as an ethical dilemma. Because ultimately, universities are here for a public good. We want to produce graduates who have integrity and who are, you know, courageous and trustworthy, and our assessment systems and our processes have to support these qualities. So our students need the ability to reason and reflect and critically think and act with integrity. So I think by openly discussing AI, openly discussing the integrity aspect as well, that we're actually here to develop academic integrity. We're not just here to catch academic misconduct, which of course is required for us to uphold integrity. But have that open conversation and then be exceptionally clear with our assessment instructions and with our policies so that everyone knows what the rules are and how we can not just sort of abide by the rules, but how we can really live with that integrity.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. Nursing student Mark McLaughlin, Dr. Jasmine Thomas, Associate Professor of ICT Governance and Partnerships at the University of Southern Queensland, and Dr. Cameron Edmund, a lecturer in game development at Macquarie University School of Computing. And thank you for your thoughtful text on this as well. A lot of people who are not fans of AI, John says AI is nothing more than a stolen library. It's not intelligent. It's an automated, memory-based search engine that appropriates and devalues human knowledge and creative practice. Sarah says handwritten hard copy assignments should be the only mode permitted. Another text says we should go back to a system of exams plus oral presentations.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.